always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Ghislaine Maxwell is scheduled to undergo a second day of questioning by Justice Department officials in the Jeffrey Epstein scandal. CBS's Jared Hill.
Today, Deputy AG Todd Blanche is back with a convicted sex trafficker, posting the DOJ will share more of what they learn at the appropriate time.
Maxwell serving 20 years at a prison in Tallahassee. Midwestern states get a break as a brutal heat dome moves into the Northeast. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
The midsection of the country is going to see the heat rebound, even if today is a little bit cooler than the last couple days have been this weekend and on into early next week. The heat returns.
High in New York City today, upwards of 95 degrees. French President Macron says his country will recognize the state of Palestine. The BBC's Yolande Nell from Jerusalem.
This is recognition that Palestinians have long sought, and they've welcomed this announcement by France.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Governor Tony Evers announced yesterday that he won't be running for a third term. So who will enter the Democratic primary? Savannah Tolmay Olson reports.
This will be Wisconsin's first race without an incumbent running in 16 years. And the list of potential Democratic contenders includes some of the state's highest ranking in the party. There's Attorney General Josh Call, Evers Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, who says it's been an honor to be Evers' partner over the last couple years. There's Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, who said she's better for having served with Evers. Locally, Madison State Senator Kelda Royes may be on the short list. She thanked Evers for his decades of service and for normalcy during chaotic times. Over in Milwaukee, Mayor Cavalier Johnson and County Executive David Crowley may be considering a run. And State Senator Chris Larson urged Evers to step down, and talking to our Maggie Dawn, would not answer whether he was considering a run himself. Washington County Executive Josh Showman and businessman Bill Berrien have already entered the race on the Republican side. Senator Tammy Baldwin says Wisconsin is lucky to have had Evers. He's always put the state first. Madison Congressman Mark Pocan said he's proud to call Evers a friend and thanked him for bringing decency back to the statehouse. Dane County Executive Melissa Agard thanked Evers for his decades of service, saying he did what was best for kids, families, working folks, and communities across the state. Meanwhile, he's still got a year and a half left in office. Evers is asking the Trump administration to reconsider cuts that he says would hurt the forestry industry and would be devastating to Wisconsin. The federal government is reportedly diverting up to $43 million from the U.S. Forest Service in order to pay severance packages to fired government workers. This is the second time Evers has gone to the federal government to defend the forestry industry here. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tolmay Olson.
And I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR WIRI News.
Watch out for Matthew Golden. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the Packers training camp, where rookie wide receiver Matthew Golden is turning heads on the practice field, the first-round pick catching short passes, then turning up field for big gains, Packers safety Evan Williams.
Obviously, it's the first couple days, so we'll see how he can consistently go. But, I mean, to know that you have a guy like that that can, you know, bring a level of explosiveness to the offense, you know, it's exciting, man.
Baseball, the Brewers opening a series against the Marlins in Milwaukee. Will they make a trade before the deadline next week? Pat Murphy says, let's not discuss in front of the players.
You just can't let it get in there. I'll answer questions. I'll openly talk about different things that they're discussing, but that's their job, the front office, and they do a great job of it. Yeah, I'm just worried about this club, the group in the clubhouse right now, and what's going on with them, and I don't want them looking over their shoulder or whatever, and I just want them thinking about, hey, how can I help the team win tonight? How do I help?
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny today, our high in the low 80s here this afternoon. Tonight will be partly cloudy. We'll drop down into the mid to upper 60s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, a few scattered thunderstorms, and there will be some smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires this weekend. Our high tomorrow, low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the founder of Wisconsinology.com, Frank Anderson. And it's a bar band Friday night, so Wisconsin music expert Terry Barr joins the show with new music and great conversation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 6 till 8. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. It is nice to have you here in Oshkosh, live on this Friday morning, July 25th, 2025. Parker Olson is producing our fabulous show in our fabulous studio, Madison Studio A2. Coming up, we're going to hear from County Executive Gordon Hintz in just a bit. Also, it is Free Ticket Friday, your chance to win some Brewers tickets to see the Brewers-Cubs game next Wednesday afternoon. We'll give you the keyword to text us coming up in just a bit. Our Week in Review panel is here as well. Former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, journalist Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze. Of course, we'll be talking about reaction to Governor Tony Evers and his announcement that he will not be running for a third term next year, opening up just a wide open primary for Democrats, for Republicans, and not just for the governor's race, but for lieutenant governor. And theoretically, possibly attorney general, secretary of state, state treasurer, depending on what Josh Call and Sarah Godlewski and others decide to do. Could open up some legislative seats if some legislators decide to run for other offices. So there are just huge ramifications that we're going to get into, all put in place by Governor Evers' announcement yesterday. So that is all still to come, along with State Assembly Representative Lee Snodgrass and also Mike Clemens with sports. But first, we did get a chance to talk to my former legislative colleague, Gordon Hintz, who got back into elected office recently, ran for and won the position here in Oshkosh, Winnebago County Executive. And so I started by asking him a bit about the role. We get into the level of county government and what it provides, the difference from being a state legislator, all with County Executive Gordon Hintz. And we are joined now by Winnebago County Executive Gordon Hintz. Gordon, hello. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Pat. Good to be here.
It's good to see you again. It's been a while since we were serving under the big white dome together there and doing other things. My other thing eventually included radio. Your other thing eventually included being a county executive. Tell me about the path to that. What made you decide to run for local elected office?
Yeah, well, now that I'm older, about 25 years ago, I went to grad school wanting to be a city manager, you know, and I went out to California after grad school to do a local government management assistant program, was a budget analyst, but then I kind of got fired up about politics, returned to Wisconsin, ran for the state assembly, eventually, you know, getting elected, serving 16 years in the state legislature. I took a break after getting myself out, working for the Wisconsin laborers, you know, doing workforce development and partnering with our union contractors, which was a great experience. But I realized I really missed public service. I missed being involved in community. And I don't think I ever lost interest in local government. I think I was burned out on partisan politics, on legislative politics, but I still felt the calling for public service. I got encouraged by people in the community to consider running, thinking we needed more professional government, and got back in running. It was a different kind of campaign, and it's really a different kind of role being the county executive. you know, than it was sort of being a legislator. So it's my 100th day on the job. It's been a challenge, but, you know, I think I've realized certain things about myself and what I'm motivated to do and what I enjoy in terms of the kind of work I do.
Well, you get to do all sorts of things on policy, and we'll talk about local government, but there is that those things that are also front-facing, very public. This week is one as big as it gets for Air Venture being in Oshkosh. What's the week been like so far?
It's been great. The weather has mostly been cooperative, which is what we like to see. I don't think we've had any major incidents. On Monday, I've gone the EAA tour before, where we go out with Air Adventure. I used to invite legislators up to kind of see the world's biggest air show. I went out with our airport director and did it from a county standpoint, since it's the county airport. It's sort of the big deal to drive around, get an idea of how things work, the partnership between the county and EAA. But all indications are things that are going well. We just got an economic impact study that shows what the benefit to the community is. EAA continues to grow, continues to be a part of the community for what has been a great long-term partnership. But it's definitely, the traffic is busier in Oshkosh. The businesses and restaurants are full. But it's, yeah, I think it's a good relationship, even for the community that may not be in airplanes.
Yes, I mean, and a lot of it, these are nice. They're nice problems to have. Other communities would like to have some of those problems for 1 or 2 weeks a year. So let's talk about county government itself. And you come at it from an executive standpoint now, as a former legislator, and I come at it as, you know, I mean, that was my first beat, was covering county boards. I have long since lost count of how many county board and county board committee meetings I covered, you know, all throughout Northwest Wisconsin over the years. But it's something most people don't think about. So when you do get that puzzled look, when you tell somebody you're the county executive, what is it about the county level of government in Wisconsin, especially, that is so instrumental to the everyday lives of our communities?
Yeah, I mean, we are arms of the state. We have mandated services that the state requires the county to implement, you know, everything from, administering, you know, badger care, child support services, legal services, aging and long-term care, other social services. You know, human services are probably the biggest part of the, county agencies. But, you know, the sheriff's office, public health, the highway department, but it's not, you know, I think people identify with the school district. They know what schools do. They identify with their municipality. They know they call the police, the garbage gets picked up, the snow gets plowed. But a lot of the county services, if you don't have a direct interaction with them, you may not be as familiar. You know, if you're not using some of those services, if you're not, using the nursing home, if you don't know somebody involved. And I think that's something that we need to do a better job of, promoting the work that the county does so that the public gets it, and that we make sure that the priorities of the county are in line with what the priorities of the community are. And I realized it during the campaign, and I realize it, you know, more being executive. It's incredible to hear that when you were covering the news on TV that you actually covered county government, given how little attention it seems to receive now. And we're, you know, trying to work on that, you know, with traditional and non-traditional media. But, you know, we're up against the same challenges in this environment that everybody is.
Without a doubt. And yet you have to be, you know, responsive. You are local that way. And so let's close by looking at your first 100 days in office, and then maybe the next 100. Tell me something that you've been very happy with, that you've done new in the position. And then what's something that you're really hoping to accomplish in the next 100 days, or well into what may be your first term?
Well, I mean, prioritizing engagement with the public, especially our municipal partners, you know, reaching out to the other local governments in the county. You know, Winnebago County is sort of the northern part of the county, Neenah, Menasha, Fox Cities, which probably identify with Appleton more. And then Oshkosh, it's its own thing. And then the western communities, we're sort of divided into thirds, and trying to get everybody focused on what can Winnebago County do? How can we partner, as, you know, with municipalities and with other nonprofits You know, I've been trying to build those relationships and make everybody know that we are going to be a partner. Probably the biggest thing that we've been spending time on is the acquisition of UW-Fox. They closed the 2-year campus. We had co-owned it with Outagamie County. We've since, my first day, the board bought them out for $1. We were able to preserve the existing child care center there, maintain the Barlow Planetarium, but we're working on a redevelopment plan for the campus of 43 acres to hopefully not only make it financially sustainable to preserve the theater and the field house and the public amenities people appreciate, but also get some development that increases, that adds tax base for the county and for the community. And so, getting us to this point have been so far, but we've got a lot of work to do, but that's been what's consumed a lot of the first 100 days. And the next 100 days will involve a lot of budget development, and that'll be continued to be transparent, engage the public. We're going to propose the budget a month earlier than normal so we can take it on the road, so we can do some town halls, so we can hit the Rotary clubs and really use it as an opportunity to promote the good work that county government does.
County Executive for Winnebago County, Gordon Hintz. Gordon, great to catch up with you. Thank you very much. Congratulations on the new job. Wish you all the best going forward.
Thanks for having me, Pat.
Nice to talk to him as we are here live in Oshkosh this morning. Just in time to cover some breaking news. Got here just as Governor Tony Evers was making the announcement that he would not run for a third term next year. And Parker, I wanted to start a game from this. I wanted to say, okay, look, we're going to get probably a dozen candidates. Yeah. I wanted to get a list of a dozen names or so of potential candidates, and then have people guess the order in which they were going to announce.
Ooh, I like that.
And then see who was closest. Unfortunately, the game's already underway. Yeah. We already have the first two names on the list, as Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez made official this morning that she is going to be a candidate for governor. The Lieutenant Governor has been with Governor Evers on this first term. You'll recall Mandela Barnes was Lieutenant Governor during Governor Evers' first term and then left that post to campaign for U.S. Senate. Sarah Rodriguez, a former emergency room nurse, now saying officially that she is a candidate for governor next year. Right on its heels, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley put out a statement as well that said, quote, in the weeks ahead, I will be taking steps toward entering the race for governor. The stakes are simply too high to sit on the sidelines. So there you have it. Not 24 hours removed from Governor Evers' decision not to run for a third term, and you already have the first two Democratic candidates in the race. You have two announced Republican candidates in the race, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and businessman Bill Berrien. And so you have two Democrats, two Republicans, and trust me, many, many more will be getting in the race. These will be wide-open primaries August of next year, which is not... Again, a wide-open primary is not necessarily a bad thing or a good thing. It just is. We have an open race for the first time in well over a decade. And so when you have that situation come up, expect a whole bunch of people to be introducing themselves to you and asking you for your vote. That August primary is going to be super important. So as we get approaching that, over a year from now, realize the value of not just waiting for November to vote for governor, but you're going to be asked to pick from a large field of candidates for governor, for lieutenant governor, and potentially for attorney general, secretary of state, state treasurer, depending on who all gets in and how all the dominoes fall, which started with Governor Evers' announcement yesterday. A local update is next for some of you. Our Week in Review panel is on the way as well. But first, it is Free Ticket Friday. So tell you really quick here, get that Civic Media app. Go to one of the stations, use the text feature, and text us the word BREW, B-R-E-W. Not Brewers. I saw that in one or two folks, but BREW, B-R-E-W. You're in the running for a statewide drawing to win a 4 tickets to the Brewers-Cubs game next Wednesday afternoon at American Family Field. From the heart of America's up north, live from Oshkosh this Friday, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
Take yourself out to the ball game at historic Witter Field in Wisconsin Rapids for Rafters Baseball for a fun-filled day. They're throwing a Rafters Baseball Kids TV Takeover on Sunday, July 27th at 3:05 p.m., and you won't want to miss it. Your favorite Kids TV characters will be there ready to meet you and take pictures. Enjoy some tasty food and cheer on the team with your family and friends. It's going to be an awesome day of excitement and laughter, so bring everyone along to Witter Field. They can't wait to see you there.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In February of 2024, Governor Tony Evers signed new maps for the Wisconsin State Legislature into law, putting an end to one of the most extreme partisan gerrymanders anywhere in the country. While that was a momentous achievement for democracy in the state, that wasn't the end of the story. Since then, for more than a year, Fair Maps advocates and pro-democracy activists have been looking to take the next step and propose a new plan for independent redistricting in Wisconsin that would be here for the long haul. It's a compelling, well-constructed plan that would take the job of drawing maps away from the politicians who run for office on those very maps. In this new feature story, I take a closer look inside this citizen-led grassroots effort as it goes from the idea phase to being presented to the public. Because we absolutely need a long-term solution for redistricting reform in Wisconsin so we don't end up seeing either political party gerrymander Wisconsin's maps ever again.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Breaking sports radio show news coming across the ticker. In a move for the ages, 105.5 WIRI has traded for playmakers. Join us 4 to 5 Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. Hit us in the numbers by calling with your sports takes and feelings. We'll have James, Randy, Michael, and Seth bringing you local sports coverage and news that you won't hear anywhere else. Thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Be heard 4 to 5 every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on 105.5 WIRI's newest roster edition, Playmakers. We speak sports.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report for this July 24th, 2025. Show is proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic. Big thank you to them, and a big thank you to our guests today from UW Extension. We have Kazuha Tao with us, bilingual Hmong community health worker. Kazuha, it's nice to see you.
Nice to see you again, James.
Thanks for being here and always hanging out with us and putting up with my questions and all that. We're going to have some fun today talking a little bit about the benefits of strong bodies in some upcoming classes. Let's get into that.
Yeah. So for those folks who don't know what Strong Bodies is, Extension brought Strong Bodies program. It started off as Strong Woman, and eventually it became not just for the woman population, right? It really has benefits for everybody. So they switched it to Strong Bodies, and Strong Bodies is meant for all ages, really. We have participants who are in their 20s all the way to their 80s and 90s, and it has benefits to everybody regardless of how you're living, how your body is, of what age. It really is created, it was created to really support people to have stronger, healthier lives by just doing, I want to say, the basics of strength training, right? And it's everything that we do for strong bodies has some kind of benefit for everyday life. And then I always say it's a great time to come and socialize with other people, too. There are people all over the world who come to Strong Bodies just for the social piece of it, who they're like, I really don't want to exercise. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do the minimal, but I'm really here to do the talking. So, yeah, there's so many benefits to Strong Bodies.
I want to come back to the fellowship and the friendship and all that. But you mentioned this being around the world. Mm-hmm. And this is a program that is very popular and has done very well in multiple communities around mm-hmm. the country.
Oh, yes, definitely. It started off just in the U.S. And I want to say it probably hasn't, like, isn't really well known around the world, but at the same time, people who do participate in Strong Bodies, if they truly enjoy it, they have the option of becoming a volunteer leader. And so they could take it to wherever they are, right? For example, if I'm living here and I'm a Strong Bodies leader and I move overseas somewhere, if I think it's such a great program, I can always continue and create classes, really. It's a benefit to anybody, no matter where you are.
I may have stretched a little far there with around the world, but I appreciate you meeting me there on that. and what you're saying there is such a cool point, too, I think, for just individuals. If you're looking to take these classes or already have been, to keep that in mind, that this now, that's one of the, I think, the coolest things about programs like this, classes on that you guys offer, that knowledge is yours. You got that for life. And you know, as you know, what you do with it and everything is kind of yours. I think that's really cool about no matter who we get to talk to from Extension. This is one of those programs too, coming back to the fellowship part of it, the friendship thing. We know we put a lot of focus in the isolation of our seniors and talking about this. And while anybody can take these classes and they're good for anybody at any age, I do think about that right away. And I know that in talking with you on air, off air about these classes and stuff, this is one of those things in groups of people that tend to take these classes consistently. We see good numbers from the older population in it. And for those out there that are a little isolated or just feel like getting out a little bit, you know, it doesn't have to be a reason. You could just want to do it and do it. Maybe you feel in good shape. You feel like you've got good flexibility in some of those things. Well, it could always be a little better. And, you know, while it's great to work out at home and get those stretches in and everything, there's something about being in the gym. I've been working out, my dad being an athlete, I've been working out since I was about 7-8 years old. And I've done almost the same routine my whole life. Now, at different times of my life, I worked out at gyms. For the most part, I worked out alone or with my dad or my best friend or something like that at a home gym. I didn't realize how much I missed being out at the gym and just running into people and talking to them and everything, let alone with this kind of almost unsaid mutual kind of agreement that we all have in these programs or classes of we're all here for good reasons. We're all here to have some fun and hopefully learn something or get a little more flexible or whatever the class is pertaining to. That stuff gets a little, we forget about that stuff when we're not doing it and we're removed from it a little. But just prepping for this, talking about it with you got me thinking about, man, I kind of got to get back to the gym a little bit. I kind of miss it. And it's not because I can't work out at home or any of those things. I can't run into my friends. I can't run into people or run into new future friends.
Yes. Oh, yeah, definitely. Like you hit it right on the spot, James. Like anybody can work out at home. Like we have our virtual program, too, on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
It's a good thing to bring up.
Yeah. So we have our virtual programs on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 9 to like 10:30 about. And it's great because it's at the in the comfort of your own home. However, at the same time, your little screens. And so that makes a huge difference. And even if you're not doing the virtual program and you know these exercises and you're doing it at home, it's great. But to actually be in a group of 15, 20 others who are very similar mindset, right? These folks, they all want to come. They all want to do better for themselves, become healthier. And so they're here. And then there's no judgment. Like nobody judges you regardless. You might think that everybody's judging you, but when you come into a space, it's so safe. It's a safe space, right? Everybody wants to do the same thing. Everybody else's cheerleader. And so it's really cool to see all of that. And so, like, we've had different programming throughout the area. And so our current one is at the Senior Center, at the Lowell Center. And Hannah and I run that class together. And it's really cool to see the different folks that are there and the conversations that happen. We have people who have built friendships from Strong Bodies. They coffee groups, walking groups, shopping friends. Like, there's so many different things. And folks that you, when you see them together, you don't think that they would ever be friends.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
I love it.
But, you know, they come together and they're like, they bond right away. So it's really cool to see that piece of it. Just because, like you said, if you're doing it at home, it's great because you are at home and you're comfortable, but you miss that connectedness piece to others. And I think that's truly, truly important, especially for elders, because they don't always get that right as their kids age and move out of the house. It's great to have one another, but I can tell you if I was with my husband 24/7, I wouldn't be wanting to talk with him all the time. You know, it's just nice to get out and talk to other people and create those friendships. And like you said, possibly build new friendships too, because
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's estimated that some 87% of U.S. agricultural businesses were using some type of artificial intelligence as late as 2021. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Friday. It could be something relative to software, or it could be something like auto steering guidance. Whatever form of artificial intelligence your farm is using, be careful. That's the advice of Dr. David Cole, Professor Emeritus of Agriculture and Applied Economics at Virginia Tech College. He was in Wisconsin this week sharing his insights on this new technology and how we should carefully be using it.
For example, we saw drone spraying the other day, spot drones on the dairy farms. We have all the information, got the robotic milkers, etc. So it's going to accelerate strategic decision making. But one of the things you got to be really careful is that it's not always going to give you accurate information. And so what you have to do is you still have to have the human filter. And the other thing AI is going to be, it's like you. We're doing this interview. AI could do the interview, but it's your nonverbal communication and being able to interact. That the more you go high tech, the more you have to have the human and the high touch.
Dr. David Cole, Professor Emeritus of Agriculture and Applied Economics at Virginia Tech College. He was a guest in Wisconsin this week, cautioning that artificial intelligence only as good as the human operators overseeing it.
This is the sound of corn pests wreaking havoc on your crops. This is the sound of a channel field protected by Bayer's trait technology. With the RNAi technology of SmartStax Pro, the all-in corn rootworm fighter, and VT4 Pro, Bayer's widest spectrum of defense, you can stay one step ahead of ever-changing pest pressure. Find the right corn trait for your fields at channel.com/corntraits. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
You're invited to Clinton Farms in Bear Creek for this year's Farm Technology Days, Generations of Progress. This year's event features the chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative techniques, and taking a glimpse into the next generation of agriculture. There's also a rotary parlor, seminars, and, of course, field demos of all kinds. Mark your calendars for August 5th through the 7th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information and show details, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
And the Wisconsin Corn Promotion Board has become a platinum sponsor of the Wisconsin FFA. Shane Goplin, Secretary of the Wisconsin Corn Promotion Board, says they are the future of agriculture and they're happy to support the team. One of the messages you may note in the future is their promotion of unleaded 88 fuel that the officer team will be using to travel the state. That's a look at food news on a Friday. I'm PM Yonke.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny today, our high in the low 80s here this afternoon. Tonight will be partly cloudy. We'll drop down into the mid to upper 60s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, a few scattered thunderstorms, and there will be some smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires this weekend. Our high tomorrow, low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 64.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
This is what you desire, don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We're on the road at WGBW in beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin, talking about all things Green Bay. And also, the Packers are back at training camp. We'll discuss it. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Welcome back. We're live in Oshkosh on this Friday morning, July 25th, and back to our Week in Review panel in just a moment, right after a reminder that you can sign up for our newsletters here at Up North News. Head to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the top banner. I will be putting together our Sunday morning newsletter real soon about the week in Wisconsin politics. Gosh, what will I write about? Whatever will I find to talk about? I'm sure there will be something in there, including a question of the week and the responses to this week's question, which was, what do you think of candidates that run ads super early, like more than a year before the election, as Bill Berrien is doing? Well, in hindsight, it's looking like a pretty good move right now. He's got to boost his name ID as more Republicans start to get into this race. But does it work with voters or not? So again, sign up for our newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Yes, Tony, I agree with what he put on YouTube here. It's going to be a fun year. Yes, fun. Let's put it that way. Fun is the way that we're going to go. Jennifer Scholz is here, Mark Jacob, and Jim Santel as well. Jennifer, the last your last issue of Indistinct Chatter in Substack was all about the potential merger between Paramount and Skydance, which would include CBS and Stephen Colbert being shown the door. But what really takes the cake is the statement from the FCC commissioner, Brendan Carr, who is a Trump loyalist, when he says, in approving the merger, quote, "Americans no longer trust the legacy national media to report fully, accurately, and fairly. It's time for a change. That's why I welcome Skydance's commitment to make significant changes at the once storied CBS broadcast network." Well, knowing what we know about how the leadership at Skydance is also friendly toward Trump, this seems like a particularly sad occasion, Jennifer, taking us one step closer to state-controlled media.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's a terrible, terrible decision, and we should all be horrified by it. I can't imagine what's going to happen to CBS or how quickly it's going to change. It's going to change. The question is, how quickly is it going to change, and how will we see it? Will it be a slow moving thing? Will it be sudden? Everybody's gone. But it is so startling to see one of the grandest broadcasters and journalism entities in our modern time taken over in this way. And we should all be really, really concerned about it. It's a very bad thing for the country. Very bad.
And so while we're concerned about it, Mark, the question becomes, what does everybody else do about it? Now, we've seen, you know, ABC capitulate in some way, shape, or form. Meanwhile, we've seen the Wall Street Journal, of all places, being the one most likely to punch back. What is it that other media sites are going to have to do once they see CBS change, which, as Jennifer said, it's almost certain that CBS will?
Well, I think the real problem is corporate media that cares way more about profits than about doing good journalism. You know, and that was totally the case with Paramount and the CBS thing. You know, there are some good outlets. You know, there is ProPublica. There's The Guardian is, you know, based in the UK, but it does one of the best jobs of reporting on American media of anyone. Now, the Wall Street Journal thing is kind of odd because that's Rupert Murdoch, the same guy who owns Fox News. But my feeling about that is that Rupert Murdoch is just serving his customers. And the Wall Street Journal customers want facts and truth, and the Fox News customers want to be lied to. And he's very happy to serve both audiences.
In your newest newsletter of Stop the Presses, get it at stopthepresses.news, the headline is, "A Feeding Frenzy Finally Feasts on Trump." And that takes us to the Jeffrey Epstein saga, which again is unnecessarily convoluted when you had a whole bunch of people saying, release the files, and now the president of the United States is saying, actually, there's nothing there, and it was a hoax, and you supporters of mine, you're stupid if you believe it. Small wonder this has backfired, Mark.
No, yeah, I'm surprised about two things regarding this. You know, one, that the news media actually picked up on it, you know, because this has been, frankly, been an underplayed story for a decade, you know, and none of the Trump scandals have really taken hold the way they should. And this one certainly didn't. But then he promised his followers that he'd release files and then the client list, and then the client list doesn't exist. And so I understand why they're mad about it. So I was surprised that the media stayed on it and is still staying on it. And we're almost up to the third week. And the other thing I'm surprised about is that Trump has botched the issue so badly. I mean, when you announce to your followers that, you know, stop talking about this, they're not going to stop talking about it. That's the sure way to get people to talk more about it, is when you demand that they stop talking about it.
The one thing here, Jim Santel, that is troubling to me, and I know it is troubling to you, though, is how they are trying to distract, how they're trying to cover their tracks, or how they're trying to change the direction, specifically a deputy attorney general meeting with the imprisoned Ghislaine Maxwell, who was Epstein's accomplice in all of this, the one who could say with any certainty that Donald Trump did or didn't have any untoward activity along with Jeffrey Epstein, but now he's president of the United States. So when a political appointee like this meets with her to either issue promises or threats, I mean, that meeting yesterday also crossed some kind of a line in my mind. How about you?
And to what end? What are we doing here inside the Department of Justice? She has already been convicted, as we all know, of the very offense conduct with which Jeffrey Epstein was also charged. He was not tried, of course, because he committed suicide before that happened. But what are we doing here in connection with some legitimate law enforcement purpose? It underscores this notion we've got just not unfounded conspiracies about unfounded conspiracies. And now we've got the second highest person in the Department of Justice, who apparently the bidding of our president is saying, okay, meet with her to do what? What is it you're going to accomplish? We already know that inside the Department of Justice, if they want to produce it, it's not the grand jury transcripts. It never was. There's a huge file sitting there. There's nothing more to prosecute. There's nothing more to investigate aside from supporting the many victims out there, which this administration needs to do. If you want to bring this to an end, release all those materials. Let there be another feeding frenzy about all of that. Who knows what's inside of that, but be done with this. The larger issue, of course, Pat, as we've talked about, is Donald Trump, and getting back to Mark's point, he set this fire, as Chris Christie is saying, when he basically decided, I'm going to be involved in all kinds of things related to the Department of Justice, tearing down that arm's length wall that has always existed between the White House and Ninth and Constitution. He has basically said, I'm going to tell you who to prosecute, what to do, who to investigate. And if he had not done that and said, you know what, all of this related to Department of Justice, case-specific stuff, he could have legitimately, in the tradition of every president before him, distance himself. Instead, as Mark and Jennifer said, jumped in full head, and now he has set the fire. He cannot control the blaze anymore, to mix metaphors here.
Let's move from the White House and from the Department of Justice over to the Capitol building, Jennifer, where, yeah, Donald Trump's having a bad week, but boy, so is Speaker Mike Johnson, who actually sent Congress home early to their summer recess to avoid hoping it would go away. Jennifer, it's not going to go away when Congress comes back. This is going to be maybe the worst recess ever for some of these members.
Well, on a couple of topics, not just Epstein, right? We already know that Republicans are being counseled not to hold town hall meetings again, because remember how well that went when constituents were upset about the DOGE cuts. Constituents are now upset about lots of things. They want the Epstein information, but they're also really worried about these Medicaid cuts, SNAP cuts, the ACA premiums going up, and other things like that. And I think that Republicans, if any of them do show their face in public, now that they have a 6-week vacation, it will be a really difficult time for them. I think it's also a good time for the press to really hone in on some of the specifics of these issues that the Republicans are trying not to talk about. because there are going to be a lot of really drastic impacts on people and very soon.
Mark, when as part of the distraction, you had Trump and others, Tulsi Gabbard, Ron Johnson, Derek Van Orden, going so far as to try to talk about, you know, arresting Barack Obama for the 2016 Russia influence in the investigation and Tulsi Gabbard's deliberate misconstruing of documents related to 2016. It all felt very outrageous yesterday and the day before. And it still is, but Mark, I feel like by now it's become clear that that's been one more thing they're trying. Their base has always been wanting to arrest Obama for some reason, but if they thought that that was going to be a successful distraction, it doesn't appear to be so.
Well, anything works with their base. I mean, Their base is, you know, just doesn't care about facts. You know, whatever Trump wants to do is great, but that's not a majority. It's not even close to majority, and the rest of the people who, you know, still have thinking brains in their heads are I think that they see this for what it is. I mean, when you see them dredging up like Hillary and Obama, I mean, that's old news, folks. You know, I mean, and the Obama thing is just dishonesty by Tulsi Gabbard, who we knew what she was when she was named. In fact, Trump knew what she was when she was named, and that's why he named her. You know, she's very pro-Russian. She really wants. She doesn't really have any respect for democracy. She doesn't have any respect for the facts, because when you look into the Obama thing, it makes no sense. And a bipartisan congressional report on the whole issue, endorsed strongly by Marco Rubio, found that there was no problem there.
Yeah. And it was, again, when I say ham-handed, you know, it was just so apparent and blatant that she took documents that said, there's no evidence that Russia meddled in the election and changed votes in voting machines.
Right.
To there's no evidence Russia meddled in the elections, period. Jim Santel, you try something like that from a legal standpoint, and I think you get in a little trouble.
You'll have your head handed to you by any federal district court judge, any appellate court judge, would say, Mr. Santel, let me read to you the rest of the sentence, the rest of the report. And it is a part of, as all four of us are saying, it's a part of the deception. It is linguistic gymnastics of the worst kind. It is relying upon the notion, which apparently is true for some portions of our population, they do not have the capacity to do the critical thinking and say, wait a minute. Let's figure out what the rest of that sentence is all about. Let's figure out what the truth is. And at least on this, I am bright enough to know that this is not the case. This administration depends on people not understanding everything from how government works to how basic language works to how, even inside my world, how criminal charges work, what things happen in the civil courts. And therefore, you can take these little nuggets of words, twist them around, and maintain that that's how things have always been. It is deceptive. It is really cynical also at the highest level. The president basically is saying, I know the American people are not bright enough to call me out on this so I can go down this road. And then the Tulsi Gabbards and the others, including the attorney general, can follow in suit. The president has in the past said, you know, I love an uneducated people. We've seen that now once again.
Yeah, without a doubt. Jim Santel has Amicus Law Review. You can hear it Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock on Civic Media stations and a playback on Sunday morning. Of course, we've got Mark Jacobs' newsletter at stopthepresses.news, also through Courier Newsroom. And Jennifer Schulze's Indistinct Chatter is on Substack. A local update is next for some of you. Others will continue our discussion here with the panel as we head into the weekend, along with Mike Clemens and State Representative Lee Snodgrass in our next hour. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
There's a quote about the importance of setting goals. If you don't know where you're going, any path will take you there. This holds true for things that are important to you financially as well. To set your financial goals, think about your priorities. Outline them as either must-haves, such as a comfortable retirement, or wish list, perhaps a vacation or entertainment. You'll want your goals to be specific. Assign estimate dates and cost to each one so you can plan how much to save and how much time you'll have before you need the money. Next, hold yourself accountable to stay on track. This involves actively tracking your progress, maintaining your focus, and using these time-tested strategies. Diversify, own quality investments, and keep a realistic perspective. A financial advisor can help with this. Finally, enjoy that sense of accomplishment when you reach your goals, seeing your efforts literally pay off.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter, experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
From newspaper to radio to magazine to podcast, the way we get our information has grown, and now so has Midday Magazine. Our longtime beloved show has grown to become the Rapids Report. Now exclusively available online, listen at 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, where it's streaming at WFHR.com. Catch up on previous episodes and spread the word. Midday Magazine is now the Rapids Report, streaming weekdays at 4 at WFHR.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Possibly build new friendships, too, because it's always great to meet new people, regardless of how old you are.
I appreciate you sharing that with about your husband. That's hilarious. But also, it reminds me of my Nan and Papa, my grandparents. Mm-hmm. When we first moved out here, and my Papa was a little more shy, whereas my Nana was a little more outgoing. Mm-hmm. But my Papa loved bowling. Mm-hmm. So they join a bowling league. And my Nana joins it with him. But my Nana couldn't care less about bowling. She was there to talk to people. She wanted to talk to the shoe person, talk to this person, and then just not, let alone making friends, and they ended up meeting people who were just two houses away from them, and they didn't even know, and lifelong friends and all that and everything, and just from putting themselves out there and trying something different. They also were able to do this in a really safe environment. Everybody there weren't judging my Nana for not necessarily knowing how to bowl. My Papa could, but not so much her. So you bring up that that positive environment, that welcoming environment, and I don't want to skate past that. I think that's a really cool thing to bring up, and a really a gift to give to people when you can do that, certainly in these classes and programs, but any time in life that we can do that for each other. It never goes out of style. That is something that is always going to be cool to do. And that's very nice to be able to offer with something like this. I think that is a little more along people's speed, too, and hopefully that last thing that maybe pushes you to take the classes, knowing that it's a safe environment, everybody's welcome, and the cheerleader part can mean more than we realize.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I like the how you brought up, it really is at whatever speed. Right. We always say that you know your body best. And so you know what you can do. You know your limitations. And so if we're doing 10 reps and you're only able to do 5, that is perfectly okay. We're fine with that. And then the goal is to eventually get to 10. Right. And so if you can eventually get to that piece, great. If not, That's perfectly fine as well. As long as you're moving forward, that's all that matters. So for example, like yesterday, I was teaching the class and I was just like, hey, everybody, how's it going? Do you feel a difference in your body? And we just started having these conversations. And some of the ladies, they were amazing. They're like, yeah, but I've noticed my balance is better, my coordination. I went up from 1 pound weights to 3 pound weights. And so it might not seem like a lot, but it's actually huge. Or they actually went from no weights to 1 pound. Like, that's improvement right there, regardless of what you see others doing. We have people who do 12-pound weights, and I'm going, oh my goodness, I would never be able to do that. But, you know, as long as you're moving forward, whether it's a centimeter, it's moving forward regardless mm-hmm. of how big it is.
It's all progress. Mm-hmm. It's all progress. Rome wasn't built in a day. Yes. You know, it's all that. We want to let people know how they can be a part of this program, how they can learn more about it, mm-hmm. Kazuha. Just sending them to the website, is that the best way to do it, or do you have other information?
You can definitely go to our UW Extension Wood County website. We have our upcoming programming there, but if you can't find it or if it's a little difficult, you are more than welcome to call our extension office as well. The office phone number is 715-421-8440. We do have some upcoming programming. Nothing is set in stone yet, but we're in the working phases. We have a class starting at the Nakusa Community Center and then the Pittsville Community Center, which is part of the library. Those are both slated to start at the end of September. I do want to let people know that there is no fee for this, but a donation would be nice just to kind of keep this going. Space is limited. So you have to register. Even though it's free, you have to register. Call the extension office at the cell phone, at the phone number that I gave. Mm-hmm. It really fills up fast, James.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I want to say our class right now, we have a waiting list of about 16-17 people.
Wow.
And that was, I think, within the first 2 hours our class filled up, because people know the benefits of strong bodies and mm-hmm. how great it is. Or if they've never done it, if they heard from a friend, and so they encourage each other. So be on the lookout for any kind of advertising on our website. If you have Facebook, we post it up on Facebook of when the registration opens. When it does open, we can definitely give James a heads up so he can share with everybody as well.
Yeah, you guys are great at that.
Yeah.
We'll definitely let the audience know.
Yeah, registration is highly is required. And I want to say, as soon as registration opens up, get on it, because mm-hmm. it fills up so fast.
We are speaking with our friend Kazuha from the UW Extension Wood County. And before I let you go, I did want to touch on a little bit of a cool class that you have coming up that I think is really fun idea, an emerging of wonderful worlds of where most people are, especially as we get more and more of a tech society mm-hmm. and arthritis becomes much, much more of a thing at a much younger age than it ever did before. You don't have to do a deep dive digging to see the numbers of this. Just talk to anybody. Mm-hmm. Like, it's almost like everybody has issues with if not arthritis, the beginnings of it or the fear of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think when we talk about arthritis, a lot of people feel like it's, well, there's nothing that can be done. Once you have it, you're stuck with it. Or there's no ease, really, other than, you know, over the traditional over-the-counter stuff or what have you or mm-hmm. anything like that. My mom, from a very young age, has struggled with arthritis. And she has tried a number of different things. And some of it has helped and some of it really hasn't. Mm-hmm. But one thing that I thought was really unique is the idea of incorporating Tai Chi with this.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know a whole lot, but what I do know of Tai Chi, I think, oh, that's a perfect mix right there. You got this program coming up. Can you tell us a little about it?
Yeah. So I am a certified instructor for Tai Chi for arthritis and fall prevention. I taught a class back in the spring at the Senior Center, at the Lowell Center. It was amazing. It was amazing turnout, and the participants had a lot of great feedback about it. And so we are starting another class this fall. We are slated to begin at the end of September again, and it'll go through until Thanksgiving, so kind of end of November. You have to register for that class. It is completely free, but you do have to register. And for that registration, just be on the lookout at the Lowell Center. Everything will be through them. So I know that they have their flyers and all of that coming out soon. So yeah. Just be on the lookout. Look on their social media. Look out anywhere, because once that comes out, that class fills up pretty fast as well. Just because, like you said, there's so many benefits to the arthritis piece combined with with Tai Chi. The ladies that were, it's a lot of ladies. I encouraged the gentlemen to come join us too. We had a few and then things came up, but it's a great benefit for everybody. Just their
balance. You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A Justice Department official will interview Jeffrey Epstein's accomplice, Ghislaine Maxwell, again today in Florida. Her attorney, David Marcus.
She never invoked a privilege. She never declined to answer.
Maxwell serving 20 years at a federal prison in Tallahassee. An appeals court in California has tossed out a rule requiring background checks to buy bullets. Loyola Law's Lori Levinson.
Law enforcement actually wanted this restriction because there are many people who have guns illegally. And if they can at least control the bullets that are going out, they might be able to control who uses these guns.
She's already serving life for killing her two kids. Lori Valley O'Daybell is about to be sentenced again for killing an ex-husband. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum on the case.
She only has one life to serve a life sentence, but yet she is likely to be sentenced today to a life sentence in Arizona, too.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.